A lot of news has been coming out of the Congress party lately. Now, Congress party has become a very interesting or intriguing party where it doesn't achieve very much. In fact, if anything, it keeps on declining, and yet it keeps getting a lot of the headlines and a lot of the news. Now, many of the supporters of the Congress would say, oh, that's because media victimizes us or targets us. But if you look at what's happening with the Congress right now, I don't think you could blame the media. Here is a party whose heir apparent for a long time. He's on a padyatra. He's on a yatra, very ambitious, with a big build-up that started some time back. It's still in Kerala. It started some time back. But that was supposed to be one of his major relaunches in a moment when a big political season begins. So Gujarat and Himachal Pradesh go to the polls this year. So next year, another bunch of very important states go to the polls. That is Karnataka, Telangana, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh. These are in some ways also bellwether elections, because these take place just the year before the national elections. So national elections will be in the summer of 2024. So it was in that season that Rahul Gandhi's big relaunch was done with this Padyatra. What's happened just as the Padyatra was getting on is that party also announced its presidential election. So first of all, the party took the focus away and headlines away from its Padyatra to its Padyatra in the south so far to its national presidential election. So the focus shifted and the storyline shifted, and yet the party had not been able to get the process of presidential election in control. So while speculation started, who will be presidential candidate, who will be backed by the high command, potential candidates started coming in to meet Sonia Gandhi. So the whole focus shifted from the yatra to the presidential poll. In the middle of all that, the front runner in the presidential poll and apparently the chosen candidate of the party high command or the Gandhi family created a new tamasha in his home state, because he is the chief minister there. So Ashok Gehlot, who had been directed by the party, apparently by Rahul Gandhi himself when he met him in Kochi, that now you go home and resign, vacate your chief minister's position for a new leader to come in. And from all accounts, as we understand, the party's chosen successor for him was also somebody who's been his challenger for a very long time. That is a much younger Sachin Pilot. Now, obviously, Ashok Gehlot went to his state, and first of all, he figured that he was giving up real executive power for what was going to be probably just a titular position. Because how seriously is Congress party's elected president taken, or how seriously is that president going to be taken? It's quite evident from the culture that's developed in the party. So as long as the Gandhis are around, as long as Rahul Gandhi, in any case, he's not been projected as the party's most visible, most powerful, most inspiring face. So party wants Rahul Gandhi to get the votes for them and their candidates. The president's job, the president of the Congress party, would be more like the chief secretary to Rahul Gandhi as the chief minister. So that is the realization that it seems Ashok Gehlot had. And he thought, first of all, why am I giving up this position? So there was a point when he tried to say, oh, but you can have both positions because mine will be an elected president's position. So you might say that one man, one person, one post, you know, in the armed forces, they say ORP, one pension. So Congress party said in its Udaipur session, OPOP, that is one person, one post. So at one point, Gehlot did suggest that, okay, I could become president of Congress and yet keep my chief ministership, because my presidential position in the Congress will be an elected position. That was quickly squashed by Rahul Gandhi and his people, who said that the party will follow the Udaipur resolution. That happened. Ashok Gehlot saw the loss of power. So I'm losing this power in my state. So am I becoming a victim of something like something like a Kamraj plan. So what was Kamraj plan? Kamraj plan came up in 1963 in Nehru's times, when Kamraj, who was the chief minister of the Congress government in Tamil Nadu, the second last chief minister, in fact the last elected chief minister, because he gave over power to Bhakt Vatsalam, after whom Congress party never got elected in Tamil Nadu again. But he gave up his chief ministership, and he also said that time has now come for Congress people, Congress leaders who have power, either as chief ministers or central ministers, to give up their positions and dedicate some time or the next phase of their political careers to rejuvenating the party. So the party needs us more than we need power. So we should be willing to sacrifice this power and go to the service of the party. So Kamraj quit like that, and many others, including Lal Bahadur Shastri, Jagjivan Ram, overall six chief ministers and six cabinet ministers quit their positions to go and dedicate themselves to party work. Now, Ashok Gehlot might have thought that he was becoming a victim of a new Kamraj plan now. So Kamraj plan in Kali Yuga now is not going to work. And Kali Yuga I use purely in the context of Kali Yuga for Congress party, because Congress parties Dwapar, Treta, Satyug, etc. are over. Right now, it's been in a long Kali Yuga of sorts because the party has been declining. In this situation, there's only two states where party has the power. The larger of these two states is Rajasthan. Would Ashok Gehlot want to give this up and become a titular party president, where his power will be that of a chief secretary? So why should he give up the chief minister's position? So it looks like it became like that. And the second motivation for him, it's evident, is that all right, now that Rahul Gandhi and his people have said, the high command has said, you cannot have two positions. So they've made me an offer, I cannot refuse. This has no reference to the movie Godfather. They've made me an offer, I cannot refuse. So I have to take that offer. So let me just make sure that a person of my choice will be chief minister in my state. So through him, I will have some power. But more important than that, the person who's been a thorn in my side all this while and who I detest, whose guts I hate, and who probably also hates my guts and who detests me, he should not get the position. That person is Sachin Pilot. And that's how this tamasha started in Rajasthan, where Congress MLAs rebelled and they said, you cannot call a legislature party meeting just like that. We already have a chief minister. What is the agenda? We should be asked, who should the next chief minister be? We cannot be told who the chief minister should be. We cannot be told. We should be consulted. Now, when did you last hear that in the Congress party? So that is the big change in the Congress party. So two things here arise from this. First of all, let's get the easier question out of the way. Question that many of you might ask is that BJP is so quick to look for cracks in any non-BJP government. Even if there are no cracks, they go and create those cracks by using ED, CBI, CBDT, and also through their other methods and techniques, because they have now perfected Operation Lotus. So if they can take Operation Lotus to states where the opposition might be a lot more cohesive, why have they not taken it to Rajasthan, which is now waiting? It's a ripe fruit, sort of precariously hanging on the branch of the tree, of an old tree, waiting for somebody to just blow at it and the tree will fall. Congress legislature party is divided. BJP already has sufficient numbers there so that it just needs a few more. So in the Congress, they can bring about a split or resignations, etc., because next election is not that far away. And they can form their own state government. The only reason that's not happening is that in Rajasthan, BJP also has a problem in local politics, with BJP high command, the mighty BJP high command, also is incapable of dealing with right now, or is not inclined to address right now, because they have a problem there called Vasundhara Raje. She's the most preeminent BJP leader. If they give the chief ministership to her, because they don't like any centers of power rising or sustaining under their watch. The fact that there is Yogi Adityanath in Uttar Pradesh, there itself is sufficient trouble for them. Why would they now see a revival of Vasundhara Raje? At the same time, if they set up a government, break up the Congress party now, set up a government, make somebody else the chief minister, then Vasundhara Raje is as capable of breaking the party, breaking the BJP, as Ashok Gehlot might be of breaking the Congress party. So that is where the BJP is stuck. That's why Operation Lotus is not yet happened. The other side of the story, the second aspect, which is a lot more important and a lot more complex, is that this once again confirms to us a very important fact in national politics, our national politics, which is that in the Congress party, the high command has been, its power, its position, its stature, its hold over the party has been weakening now for more than 10 years. It's now reached a level where even a deep old loyalist who owes so much to the high command, including his current stint as chief minister, because on all accounts, given who had led the election campaign, which is 2018, and who had been rebuilding the party in the state in the previous several years, Sachin Pilot should have become the chief minister, but the party high command gave it to Ashok Gehlot, and that Ashok Gehlot also is able to defy the party high command. That only tells you how the party high command has become weakened. And this is not a one-off case. We saw this happen in Punjab. In Punjab, Amrinder Singh refused to follow the party high command's diktat to resign and install. In that case, it looked like the party high command's choice was Navjot Sidhu to install him in power. He did not do it. He was forced to leave through a very ugly operation, which made a really unedifying public spectacle of the party and ultimately resulted in such a big decimation in the elections. So he defied the high command. The party then, because of that opposition, could not even appoint its own chosen candidate, who was Navjot Singh Sidhu. And so the party got into a real mess. At the same time, even earlier, we saw something which did not become so controversial because it did not become so big on the ground. That is Chhattisgarh. In Chhattisgarh, it looks like the arrangement earlier when the party won power there was that between Bhupesh Baghel, the chief minister, and T.S. Singhdeo, the challenger and also the claimant for the same job, the arrangement was that they will alternate as chief ministers for 2.5 years each. But come 2.5 years and Bhupesh Baghel said, thank you very much. I don't know what you're talking about. This is not going to happen. So he's been able to defy the high command also. Punjab and now in Rajasthan, we are seeing the same game play out. Now, there might be a little bit of poetic justice to it, because in the past, Congress party has indeed treated its chief ministers very badly. And we've talked in earlier episodes of Karta Clutter about what happened with Anjaya in Andhra, which led to the rise of Telugu Desam party on the premise of Telugu pride, and Virendra Patil in Karnataka, which made the Lingayat vote shift lock, stock and barrel from Congress to the BJP. And Lingayat vote, it is Lingayat caste's vote, it is, that has driven BJP since then, BJP's growth in Karnataka. In fact, the current chief minister is a Lingayat. His predecessor, Yediyurappa, the BJP's strongest leader in Karnataka, is also a Lingayat. So these are the mistakes Congress made in its treatment of the chief ministers in the past, when the high command was really powerful. So if you want to see the kind of chaos it causes, take the evidence of Punjab. In Punjab, the Congress high command fell out of love with Amrinder Singh. He was their chosen leader. They fell out of love with him, mostly because Sidhu had been coming and had been doing put about Amrinder to the high command. They wanted Amrinder out. They were not able to do it in a clinical enough manner. They were not able to persuade him to leave. So they used dirty tricks in full public view. That's calling legislature party meetings someplace else or someplace else where the chief minister was not invited, etc., etc. Very, very ugly. But even after that happened, and they appointed Channi as the chief minister. Channi as the chief minister because they did not want to give it to Sidhu. What happened? Sidhu immediately started undermining Channi by holding his hand, by leading him by the hand, by answering questions when the press asked Channi, chief minister questions, answering questions, making it sound like Channi was just a placeholder for him. So what happened? Ultimately, the voters punished the Congress party. The voters punished Channi and Sidhu. Sidhu is in jail. Channi is in a kind of self-exile. He's, till we last checked, he was in America. He's been there for months between America and Canada. And why is he there? He says because he's writing his thesis on Congress party's poll strategy. Now, I don't even know. We know that he's registered for a PhD with Punjab University. But I don't even know whether the subject is Congress party's poll strategy or he's just trolling his party by mocking them. That's how these organizational confusions have come to blight the Congress party. In other states also, Siddaramaiah. At this point, Siddaramaiah and Shiv Kumar in Karnataka. Next year is Karnataka election. BJP is in very bad state in Karnataka. BJP has run a lousy government. They've changed chief ministers in the middle. They've got a chief minister now who's a complete lightweight. He's just presided over this big mess in Bengaluru with the flooded city, etc., etc. But more importantly, he doesn't really carry any weight politically. He's only there because, one, he's Lingayat, and second, the BJP had to get Yediyurappa out because BJP high command doesn't like Yediyurappa. And later, they've had to accommodate him in Delhi in the Central Parliamentary Board, hoping that he will stay out of trouble in Karnataka. But the fact is that Bommai is not necessarily the most inspirational leader for BJP to go to the polls with. And Congress is strong in Karnataka. But once again, there are conflicting ambitions between Siddaramaiah, the former chief minister, and DK Shivkumar. And once again, the Congress party is letting that dispute fester. So we don't know what the state of the party will be as elections come closer. So that is again an organizational issue with the Congress party, which reflects in its performance on the ground. Now, since the context is Congress, Rajasthan, Gehlot, Sachin Pilot, this takes me back to a conversation I had once with Ashok Gehlot on a short flight between Jaipur and Delhi. And he was talking about his party and his experience with the Gandhis. And he said, see, look at Rajiv Gandhi's foresight. So think of the foresight of Rajiv Ji, he said, Rajiv Gandhi, that he picked up leaders in their 30s, Congress leaders in their 30s. That is me in this case, not Shekhar Gupta, but Ashok Gehlot. That is me, Ashok Gehlot, Vice Rajshekhar Reddy in Andhra, what was then combined Andhra, P. Chidambaram from Tamil Nadu, Digvijay Singh from Madhya Pradesh, and so on and so forth, and Rajesh Pilot, and told them that, look, now you are young leaders. Go to the states. Go build politics. And each one of you will have a different role and build the Congress party. You are the future of the Congress party. And he said, all of us worked at it in our own ways, very motivated because we were still in their 30s and we thought we'll have a great future. And he said, when I was being sent as the PCC chief in Rajasthan at such an early age, such a young age in 1985, that is now 37 years back, 1985, I was told, Rajiv Ji told me that you first go and meet Haridev Joshi. Haridev Joshi was then chief minister. That you go and convince Haridev Joshi that he should not feel threatened by you. And you also don't start sabotaging him. Don't get impatient. Your turn will come. When your time comes, you will become chief minister. But don't try and get it now. And he says he delivered fully on that instruction or on that agenda. Now, what's happening to him in Rajasthan is exactly the reverse of that. In 2018 elections, it's evident that it was Sachin Pilot who led the campaign, etc. Yet the party gave it to the most experienced veteran leader who they thought deserved to be rewarded because this might be his last term in power and a younger leader could wait. So now Ashok Gehlot also is uncomfortable to living up to the same idea of 1985 that he spoke to me about. So what's happening right now in the Congress party is that because the high command has weakened, we told you the big takeaway here is that the high command is weakened. And why has the high command weakened? The main reason the high command is weakened is that it is no longer able to get votes for its people. So ask any of the senior Congress leaders, if the high command can't get the votes for you, if in the elections it's every man for himself or every Congress person for themselves, then why do you have such dedication to the high command? And they say, look, they may not be able to get us the votes. We know that they cannot get us the votes, but they can keep the party together. Because when they say something, their word is the law. But when Sitaram Kesari said something as the party president, or Narasimha Rao said, everybody, there was what the dynasty says is the law. What any other president said was only lawlessness. That only led to lawlessness. That's why we need the Gandhis. We need the dynasties to keep the party together, because their word is law. But in this case now, we are beginning to see evidence again and again and again that their word is no longer the law. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for the Congress, we will know in the course of time. But this is the situation right now. So I will take you back. Self-referencing is a terrible thing, but sometimes you have to do it, particularly when you think you got it right. So I'll take you back to a national interest column I wrote in February 2013, and I will share a link with you, which was headlined "One Dynasty Dimming." And in that column, I had said that it's not as if dynastic politics is dying in India. India has a strange paradox where dynastic politics is rising because lots of dynasties are coming up, but the most important dynasty is dimming. That is the Gandhi dynasty. So that process is continued on dimming nearly for a decade now. And what you see right now in terms of their authority and power in their own party is a pale shadow of what it might have been 10, 15 years ago. And what we are seeing right now is a result of that. So it's basically Congress people turning on their own party. It's not as if they all want to leave the party, but in many ways they're turning on their own party, putting their own ambitions ahead of the party's larger interest or the party's larger discipline. That happens when political parties lose their center of gravity, which in this case is the dynasties.